Angeles, please go to kpfk.org and click donate to join the circle today.
KPFK and Pacifica are proud to announce that the long-running progressive public affairs program Making Contact is now produced by KPFK. Making Contact is an investigative journal dedicated to providing the public a deeper understanding of the world and the forces that govern it. This half-hour weekly show delivers incisive, vital perspectives, and you're invited to tune in. Mondays at 4 p.m., that's Making Contact, airing on and now produced by KPFK, 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Soy Gregorio Luque y estás escuchando KPFK 90.7 FM en Los Ángeles, 98.7 FM en Santa Bárbara y por el mundo www.kpfk.org. I am Gregorio Luque and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Bárbara, and throughout the world, you can contact us at www.kpfk.org.
Trump's in the house. The White House. The election was stolen. It's a sham. Everyone knows that I won. Everyone knows that Trump is the man, and I'm gonna run for their term. I got hope, chills not mope, chills my holiday begins, and by private jet, his landing strip to Jeffrey's Island. I skip and dive out of the way when it's time to pay the bills. I flip my metal finger when they say I'm acting ill. I got checkbooks, credit cards, and cash for tail in the pockets on my hip. Supreme Court judges can go to hell if they give me lip. I got a friend from Mars with electric cars who's going to make a lot of cuts. Welfare, healthcare, and food stamps, cause poor folks drive me nuts. Yeah, Trump.
Oh, yeah, it's the Post Hour Power, KPFK 90.7 FM on a Friday, and that was Zoo busting them rhymes right there to open up the show, baby.
That was you, man. What you talking about?
Mine's a little deeper. My voice deeper than that.
That is not me, brother.
What was that, guys?
That's Zoo.
That's not me.
What is it?
That's you.
That's not me, man.
Then how come you brought that file into
me? Man, that stuff would have... Hey, that would have more rhythm and more creativity, and I would not sound like it's 1970s.
Oh, my gosh. Listen to this guy. This guy.
I wouldn't be like, hotel, motel.
Actually, that was...
Who was that?
I was sent in from Chongo Casillas, man.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Okay. All right, all right.
I said a hip. Hop, I know. Hit me. I'm Donald Trump.
All right, all right, all right. Get into your Denzel Washington. Okay, okay, all right, all right.
Confused, this is the Pocho Hour of Power.
Yeah, it is.
And welcome, everybody. How's it going, guys?
Man, it's marvelous. That's the way to open up the show.
It's hot as hell, man. What are you talking about?
Man, I'm in the studio.
Oh, good.
I'm going to stay here all day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Conditioning.
Don't go outdoors. There's global warming outdoors.
Well, you know who doesn't go outdoors when it's hot? Ice. Because they're indoors. They are on a... what's that gay site there, Zoo?
Jesus.
The one you always want?
What's that called?
I don't know. What are you talking about? I don't know why.
Anyways, guys.
I don't know why you got that on your mind all the time, Jeff.
No, man. I forgot the name of the site now.
We're sure ICE is on all the sites.
That's right. That's their excuse, right? They're looking for immigrants.
Yeah, and actually I heard that, before we get into the show, that ICE has been monitoring all social media, and that's not good. What is that going to lead to? They're trying to find evidence of crimes. This is like we're in the future crimes here. What's going on? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, they're on Grindr looking for immigrants. That's what they told me.
Oh, yeah. Grindr. That's where future crimes are committed all the time.
That's why they wear masks. They don't want nobody to know.
Oh man! Well, anybody? Oh, man. Anyway.
But no, that's they just passed. Didn't they just legalize that like 4 months ago that they could scour different sites looking for immigrants? So they can go to your page, Lalo, and just say, "Hey, it's legal. I could do this."
Say, "Hey, I can't pronounce that guy's name. He must be undocumented."
Uh-huh. They're like, Lalo Alkakazi. Yeah, he's illegal, guy.
Ashkenazi.
That's right, buddy. It's Alkarazi. That's right. That's what his name is.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, this is a weird... I mean, of course, we've all been under surveillance for a very long time. But this is getting a little extra. Add flock cameras to that. And outside reading your – and actually, I went to my doctor's appointment this morning, and LAX is not the only place that has license plate readers. You know, my doctor's office, I think, has them, and they can let you, you know, leave if they read your license plate and know that you already paid. But what else are they – you know, is right, ICE right. peeping through the other end of that?
Yes. Now, there's a lot of streets in L.A. and in the valley where they have those license plate readers. Well, there's no more privacy. I mean, they just attack on America. I mean, look what they just can't. Haven't the Native Americans been through enough? How are you going to change things that they named like Lake Ontario? I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's right. That is like I forgot what the actual meaning of it is. Like something like pretty water or something.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful lake.
Yeah, beautiful lake. I'm changing beautiful lake to...
Lake of America.
sponsored by Bank of America.
Yeah. Interest rates are 5%. you just jump into a commercial all of a sudden. It's something, I'm just saying, it's so bad. This is why you got to know history so you know what the heck you're doing.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with Canada.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck I'm doing anyway. So, but I try and listen and learn history.
That's why people, you're listening to the Pocho Hour of Power, 90.7 FM,
the font of knowledge here on a hot LA day. Yeah, we got a great show. We've got Patricia Guadalupe hanging in the wings. Live from Washington, D.C., Russell Contreras joining us from Axios. He's coming to L.A. soon, so you can catch the Axios show in sometime in September. Covering, you know, Latino issues. Meredith Brown, the immigration attorney of great renown. She's going to join us later. And we got some ticket giveaways for a Diana Ross show. So hang on and listen to that and listen to some music with us here on the Pocho Hour Power. But I think we ought to strike up the band.
Hail to Patricia, Patricia Guadalupe. Pocho correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
Yes, yes. Woo. Give us a tea, girl.
Patricia! Woo.
And there she is.
Evidently not.
Hi, this is Patricia. What's happening?
Hi, Patricia. What is going on? What's going on in the White House?
Where is Patricia?
I'm sorry I had you on mute. Oh, my God. I'm here. Sorry,
welcome
guys.
Welcome back.
I'm glad to be here. I think I was just overcome with emotion, and I just had to be muted, and then I'm back. That's what happened. Yeah, I'll stick with that story. Yeah, and I know you were talking about Ontario and Lake Ontario and all that other fun stuff. And I want to say, first of all, that the Ontario stands for Great Lake, which is kind of like a, you know, and it also means sparkling water. And it's not the only Great Lake of the Great Lakes in the U.S. that borders Canada. So I'm wondering, what is he going to do about Lake Superior, which is the largest freshwater lake in the entire world, people?
I'm going to call it Lake Inferior, named after me.
And since you're out there in California, what are people in Ontario, California going to be called? I mean, you know, Ontario, California is a really big city, and I'm wondering what they're thinking out there. Like, what is he going to do? You know, we have to laugh about this kind of stuff because it's just absolutely ridiculous what is happening. An executive order to rename one of the Great Lakes, Lake Ontario, just because he just doesn't like Canada, doesn't like Ontario, Canada. We're doing business with them. The really, really silly thing about this, it all started when the U.S. and Canada were doing negotiations on a trade agreement, and Trump decided to tell the Canadian prime minister, one of the things that I want you to do is to tell the Quebec people that they can only speak in English. He actually said that.
That they can only speak English.
Yeah. Right, because when he goes there, the McDonald's always gets his order wrong.
Yeah. You know, the what did they call it in Pulp Fiction? The quarter pounder?
Le Royale.
That quarter royale. And so maybe he said quarter royal and they just didn't understand what the hell he was saying. But that's what started this whole nonsense, was he said that part of the negotiations was that Canada was going to tell the Quebec province that French was not going to be their official language anymore, that English was going to be it. And hello, people, Canada is actually an officially bilingual country, French and English. Their national anthem is in French and English. And Quebec, of all places, is very, very, very proud of being French-speaking. And they off and on have these discussions about breaking off and forming their own country kind of thing. So the last thing you want to do is piss off Quebec. The Canadian prime minister, in fact, the prime minister before him, one of the reasons that he lost was that his French was not good enough, according to the Canadians. Yeah. So this new prime minister, well, not so new anymore now, but he said, are you kidding me?
Yeah. But according to the French, all Canadians' French isn't good enough.
Well, yeah.
Don't they often complain about how poorly they speak the native tongue?
In France, the French say that what the kind of French that is spoken in Canada is more slang, or not, you know, but you know, not as hoity-toity as the French in France. And you know, just like in Spanish, France has the Royal Academy of the French Language, and it's an entire building, just like the one in Madrid, Spain. It's like 10 floors of people sitting around talking about what word is good to keep in French and not. And they always have these discussions about some words that are very commonly used in France but are not French words. And they get into these big discussions about it. It's one of those things where you sort of scratch your head and think, maybe they have something better to do. But so they always look down on Canada because of that. But the Canadians are very proud, you know, that at the very least they can say that they're much better hockey players than anybody in France. But, you know, all kidding aside, that's what started it. And the Canadian prime minister said this is absolutely not going to happen. And if you go ahead and impose these 50% tariffs on our products, we're going to do the same thing to you. And guess who is, or which states are going to be affected the most by a retaliation from Canada, if Canada goes through with it? Maine gets a lot of their electricity power from Canada. So does upstate New York. So does parts of Michigan. And guess what? Michigan and Maine and New York, especially upstate New York, have in common that there's some really important Senate races there. And in New York, some really important House races, where the balance of power between the Democrats and the Republicans taking over, who's going to take over in November, goes into play. So that, and there is a lot of commerce and a lot of back and forth between people living in Michigan and Canada, people living in Maine and Vermont and upstate New York, and all of those, all of the states that border Canada, have seen an enormous drop in tourism because of all of the nonsense that's coming out of the White House. And now he's decided, the president, to sign an executive order renaming Lake Ontario to Lake America, which, you know, the same nonsense that he did with the Gulf of America and all the other things. The executive order means absolutely nothing. But what it does mean for the average taxpayer is that all the government forms now are going to say, you know, Lake America, and it's going to cost more money, although officially it's not going to mean anything. And any map that may come out of the State Department is going to have that. And are they going to go into a big fight with the Associated Press about whether they're going to keep the Lake Ontario or rename it into Lake America? Because if you remember, reporters for the Associated Press were banned from the White House press room for a while because the Associated Press decided that they were not going to go along with this Gulf of America nonsense, that it was still going to be Gulf of Mexico. And the retaliation from the Oval Office was, okay, well, the reporters for AP cannot go to the press conferences. The AP had to go to court to bring the reporters back. It's all ridiculous, absolute nonsense that happens on the six-month anniversary of the start of the war with Iran. And you can just imagine the enormous amount of money that is being spent on that, and how that's affecting all of the U.S. military in that region, because they're not able to go through the Strait of Hormuz or any of the other ports in that region. And you have things like the scandal of USS Lincoln being basically stranded out at sea with running out of provisions, and sailors and Marines deployed for almost a year without any kind of break. Finally, they're coming back after they sent out another aircraft carrier. But every day that man gets up and opens up his mouth, some kind of nonsense is going to happen, either that same day or later on down the road. And today we have this whole executive order where, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and rename things. And people laugh about it. But the whole thing was that Canada, who's actually one of our closest allies, is looking at this and saying, you know, we can't do business with you people. And so they turn around and they go to the Chinese, or they go to the Europeans, and the Chinese are looking at all of this and basically smacking their lips and saying, okay, U.S., you're not trustworthy anymore, and so are the European allies. It's just something that makes absolutely no sense to anybody with any kind of, you know, with any kind of brain, because you have, like this week, we had several celebrities pass away, including the country music icon Dolly Parton, who you think, well, what does that have to do with Trump? Well, he said, Dolly Parton really likes me, and she just doesn't say anything about it. But I know she was one of my biggest fans, which is absolutely not true at all. If you look at what Dolly Parton and her, you know, her politics represented, she was she gave more than $1 million to Vanderbilt University to help develop the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. She gave a lot of money to her hometown to open up health clinics for women for free. Dollywood is near her old hometown too. Thousands of people are employed because of her. Free books for kids all over the U.S. from the age 3 to kindergarten, not just the U.S., Canada, the UK and Australia. Close to 400 million books are in circulation because of her. And she was a really big ally of the transgender and gay community. And she said, you know, everybody's entitled to love whoever they want, whatever you want to do, I'm fine with that, which goes absolutely contrary to what Trump has said and done. And so for him to say this week, Dolly was somebody that I know she supported me. You know, he's always making it about him. And so now, you know, we have the another thing of him saying, well, if you're not going to let me renovate the Kennedy Center, we're going to go ahead and demolish it. And now that's caused another a bunch of commotion. The Congress is not in town yet. They're not coming back until after Labor Day. But I can guarantee you that that issue is going to be one that they're going to be looking at, because in what mind is it okay to go ahead and tear down a historic place named after an assassinated president just because you don't want to renovate something and the judges are saying that you don't have the power to do something? Oh, well, okay, if I don't have the power, then we're going to go turn it down.
It wouldn't be the first time. He already got rid of the Lincoln penny.
And look what he did to the East Wing of the White House, you know? So everything that he touches, you know, this is the opposite of the Midas touch, obviously. Mm-hmm. You have the reflecting pool that's still... there's still a fence around it. There's still a fence around parts of the White House. If you come here, it looks like somebody dropped a bomb on that part of the White House. And the reflecting pool, you know, Washington is actually a very beautiful city, the way that it was designed. You almost feel when you're
here. It
looks
like somebody dropped a deuce in the reflecting pool.
Pretty much, yeah. And you know, it's supposed to look like a nice park. Some of these monuments that, you know, putting gold plates on some of the bronze statues that have been here for more than 100 years, tacky. It's just basically just tackiness.
And let's not forget about the Argentinian beef that he, you know, brought.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's the other thing too, that he wants to bring in 300,000 pounds of beef from Argentina and just dump it into the U.S. to lower the prices of meat. Well, who do you think is going to be affected by that? All of the cattle farmers here in the U.S. who, you know, supported him in Wyoming and Montana and further out west in some of the other states, South Dakota, the really red parts of the U.S. that support him, all of these farmers and cattle ranchers. And he says, let's bring in all of this beef because people need to have their prices go down. But the farmers and the cattle ranchers are saying, what are you doing? And how long is that going to last anyway? 300,000 pounds of beef goes by pretty fast in a country where there's more than 300 million people.
Does it at my house?
Yeah, any asado out there, you know, any of the carnitas out there. So, you know, we're approaching Hispanic Heritage Month, so you know that the beef consumption is going to go up pretty big. So,
well, I'm just glad that he's not trying to import Argentinian menudo, because that's my staple right there.
Yeah, you're going to go to battle for that one. I totally know.
No, it's you know. Oh, Patricia, I just did a cartoon about the food recalls. Mm-hmm. But upon investigation, you know, on the surface, it seems like, well, the you know, what part did the Trump administration play in this? Is it true that maybe it's more like we have heightened reporting on all these things, or are they really is FDA, USDA dropping the ball on inspecting food, or are we inspecting a lot of food and we're finding a bunch of bad stuff in it? Which one is it?
Oh, it's most definitely that they're dropping the ball on inspections. So the number of people who have been inspectors has dropped. They've dropped a lot of reports related to food inspection. And so a lot of these things, unfortunately, are anecdotal that people have reported, bad reactions to something. And then that's when they investigate, the whole lettuce thing. That whole lettuce thing happened because several people and more people started to get sick. And then the hospitals were reporting this. And then they investigated it. And then they looked at it. And they accused a lettuce farm of it, and it wasn't them. I mean, it's very amateurish the way that they're doing it, but the oversight and inspections are not happening like they should, and that goes for everything, because you have a couple, near misses in fact the fatal crash in LaGuardia Airport not too long ago, and not enough air traffic controllers because they fired all of them, and then they realized, oops, we got to bring in some more, and they still have to train them, and so they're hiring all these young gamers, video guys, to go down to the FAA training in Oklahoma City. But you need at least 2 or 3 years to be able to get up to speed on that. So all of these inspections, they got rid of reports on sexual assault in the military. They got rid of some of the infectious diseases.
Racial discriminating investigations.
Things on racial discrimination, civil rights, infectious diseases reports. All of those things have gone out the window. So as far as any kind of inspection, they're basically looking in, now that we're going into the football season, and they're playing defense instead of offense.
And their defense is weak.
Yeah, they're basically Swiss cheese defense. Let's call it that. And there aren't enough people. There just aren't enough people. And on top of that, you have some of the major higher education institutions running scared that the White House is going to come after them for, DEI and everything. And they're losing some prestigious researchers to universities in Europe and Canada, where now even in the universities that do the research to begin with, like Moderna, for instance, started at Vanderbilt University. A lot of those folks are saying, I'm getting the hell out of here because this is insane.
And a lot of things from that DEI, to jump off that point, a lot of minorities are not getting hired at corporations because the corporations are afraid that it look like they're DEI hires, what has nothing to do with DEI.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. Or you're looking at people like Lindsey Graham's sister running for the Senate in South Carolina, who doesn't know anything about anything, but of course she's not considered a NEPO hire, a DEI hire, even though she has absolutely no experience at all, and in a debate sounds like everything is way over her head. She did win the primary this past Tuesday, but she was expected to win that anyway. And South Carolina is a very red state, but it's okay when she's there. It's just like the whole thing with criticizing Muslims, like Abdul El-Sayed in Michigan. But there's no problem with Dr. Oz because he happens to be Republican. So when they talk about these kinds of things, these are all DEI hires. But when a white woman comes along, or a minority who's part of their club comes along, then it's okay. And obviously, that's very hypocritical.
And let's keep it real. Affirmative action, DEI, the most people hired are white women. That's what people don't understand.
Exactly. Yeah. And the largest number of small businesses are started by white women.
And let's just say DEI just means that you get an opportunity to interview for the job. It doesn't mean they're going to give you the job. It just means it's a bigger net to in the community that they have to interview. That's all it means.
Well, just like in the universities, you know, affirmative action, blah, blah, blah. Nobody ever talks about legacy.
Right.
You know,
same
you're
thing.
In there because of your dad. You're in there because your senator grandfather gave money. This is how George W. Bush got into Harvard Business School. So, you know, or how Jared Kushner got into Harvard with a C-minus average because his father came up with $2 million and paid it in increments right before he got in. So all of this has to do with access. That doesn't mean that you're going to be successful right. once you get in. So that you have to prove that you're able to do it and good for you. The problem with some of these critics is that they've used affirmative action programs and then they turn around and vote against it. And a very good example is Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court. And Ted Cruz,
not only did Clarence vote against it, he closed loopholes that he used to get in.
Yes, he did. He climbed up the ladder and then kicked it out.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's
either he's very self-aware of his own incompetence, or he's just an evil person.
Yeah.
Or it could be both.
He's Uncle Ruckus, and Uncle Ruckus does. What Uncle Ruckus will do.
He looks in the mirror and calls the police on himself. Hey, there's a black guy robbing me right now. It's going to be a call the police.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, and I think some of that is going to play out in the November midterms where you see a lot of these progressive candidates kicking out a lot of folks who are sitting around not doing much of anything.
Yeah, Patricia, we could be here all week talking about this, but we're going to have to save some for next week because there will be some craziness next time. But thank you for joining us on the Pocho Hour of Power.
Oh, and you know there's going to be craziness. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, yeah. Let's bet on that on Kalshi or something.
Yeah, definitely. We need to make some money out of these surefire predictions. And then we can turn the money over back to the shows.
That's right. All right, Patricia Guadalupe, thank you so much for joining us on the Pocho Hour Power. Let's go to a short musical break, and we'll come back with some tickets for Diana Ross.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Support for the Pocho Hour Power comes from the Pacific Amphitheater in Costa Mesa presenting An Evening with Diana Ross tonight at 8:30. Who's down? Who's spontaneous to go to see Diana Ross tonight at the Pacific Amphitheater? For more information, packamp.com. And Lalo, guys, we have tickets to go see the one and only Diana Ross. But you got to call right now if you can get down there in the next, 4 hours, 5 hours to get down to the Pacific Amphitheater. We'll hook you up. But we just want you to know that she will be coming to the area. To the Pacific Amphitheater. So any fans out there of Diana Ross, I'm sure there are. So call us at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. We're just giving away a pair of tickets to go see the icon Diana Ross. So call now. Good luck.
What's the date?
When is it? Tonight.
That's tonight in a few hours. And you have a very short time to get these tickets.
5 hours.
Stay on edge. Stay on the edge of your seat. Grab that phone and call now.
Yeah.
What's the number, Zoo?
818-985-5735.
Yes!
Call right now.
Yes! Ah! Yeah. And press number one.
There you go. Now you know.
I also have Jeff Keller's number if you guys want to call him.
I thought Gary was saying, it's tonight 4 hours, so run down there.
And 5 hours at 8:30. Yeah, so
yeah,
call
the
now.
Clock is ticking.
No,
people
no, just call. We have phones now.
We got phones now.
Just call and reach out to us. No way.
Let's see. No mountain high enough.
Nowhere else is giving these.
You can't get these tickets
out.
No, this is our thank you for all the people that supported us during our fun drive. So, but you got to go. Don't think about it. You really, really have to go and want to go. So 5 hours. All right. So we do got a winner already.
Woo!
Wait, why is the winner's name Gary Baca? Wait, what?
Plus one.
That guy wins.
He wins all the time.
Gary Baca Jr.
All right. Hey, but if you don't win tickets, go ahead and buy tickets. Go head on down there 5 hours to see Diana Ross in concert at the Pacific Amphitheater right next to the OC Fair, 8:30 tonight. Yeah.
That sounds like a great date night tonight. Let's go, Jeff.
Yeah, all right, man. But, you know, what? We also can go to the Stanley Clark and Friends 50 years of school days, a KPFK benefit concert.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
When's that?
October 28th, is that right?
Yeah, October 28th, 2026.
Mm-hmm. At the Alex Theater in Glendale.
Yeah.
And they'll have members of the Doors. It's a fundraiser for KPFK.
That thing is star-packed. That is awesome that we can have a benefit concert for KPFK you can support. And some of our supporters will be on stage. We just can't say who.
That's right.
But there's some surprises up there.
That's right. And I think we could strike the band for Russell coming up in just moments. We got Meredith Brown coming up. But, get your tickets tonight to go see Diana Ross at the Pacific Amphitheater in Costa Mesa, 8:30 show. Have a great time. And thanks to the winner that got the tickets.
Yes. What's up, Russell? Dang.
Butch Nexus and Butch Infinities. How are you guys doing? I'm here in the state of New Mexico driving two 12-year-olds to their softball practice for the New Mexico Sun Cats. Right here, and about to go through the rest. I may lose you real quickly, but I'll be back. Big news this week, of course. Lake Ontario is now Lake America. while things are going on in Iran and so forth, we looked at crime data, as I mentioned last week, showed that crime was going down. Some of the reasons were GPL-1s and the fact that we're getting old. Lalo and I can't carjack people anymore. We're just kicking it on the porch. The crime is going down. But one of the things I looked at, something I mentioned last week, kind of teased, is I looked at Black voters and the generational divide. And what I found looking at the data and talking to Black voters, there is now a particular switch going on between Gen Z Black voters and those from the civil rights generation. And basically, Gen Z Black voters, they no longer privilege or see the civil rights generation as something that defines them. Yes, racism and voting rights is important, but they're more concerned about economic issues. And we saw that Washington Day with the 63rd anniversary of the March on Washington, still dominated by a lot of the old guard, and a lot of the Gen Z folks are just not getting their stage. This is very different from the original March in Washington. Because remember, Dr. King was only 27 years old when he was up there giving his I Have a Dream speech. And A. Philip Randolph, he was the old guy. That was his dream to create the March in Washington, something W.E. Du Bois wanted, something a number of folks. But back then, they let the young guard. John Lewis spoke, famously spoke. Now it's still, when you think about the March in Washington, it's still a lot of the old guard. Al Sharpton there, 71. A lot of young people say, hey, you guys aren't speaking to us. And we looked at the data, and you see the way they're voting. Older Black voters, they like when Jim Clyburn comes and endorses the candidate, usually a Democratic establishment candidate. And young Black Gen Z voters, they're going with the more progressive, sometimes Democratic Socialists of America candidates. Yep. It's driving a divide, not really talked about, and you're starting to see that in electoral politics.
It's not your mom and dad's politics anymore.
Exactly. And really interesting, when I talked to Al Sharpton,
You talked to Al? Reverend Al?
I talked to Al. I talked to Al, and I saw him in Atlanta at the National Association of Black Journalists.
I hope
and Al, I asked Al. I said, hey, you know, there's a lot of the Gen Z saying, you guys just won't retire. Baby boomers just won't retire. And he said, look, if somebody has to step aside for you to take power, then you ain't the one. And Al Sharpton had a point. He says, when I was young, I stepped up and I created my own entities. And Al Sharpton did a lot of different things and made a lot of mistakes. But we know Al Sharpton by his track record. And he was saying, look, Gen Z saying they're going to do this, they're going to do that. But it's up to Gen Z to take what they want and what they step up. Nothing's going to be given to you. You have a right to step up, and we're going to see what you can provide.
We know Al Sharpton from his track suit.
Come on now. When he was 250.
When he was,
but he was always ready to go.
but he's right, though, because when I do speak to young kids, I always tell them you need to get involved in politics, because if you don't, then they'll just skip a generation and old people will stay in power longer. And so, you know, I was right about that. If you're not going to step up, well, guess what? The old heads will be in power longer.
Yeah, that's right. And the rest of us old heads are tired.
We ain't running no more.
Yeah,
it's a deal. That's the problem, Lalo. You and I are actually we're the young part of those old heads. We're in the 50s. You know, we're the young. Al Sharpton's actually younger and part of that gene. He's 71. And Clyburn is 80, 86. And so is Maxine Waters. She's 88. So they're the young part of that generation.
Wow. Why do I feel so old?
But no, I was just going to say, that's what the old politicians aren't getting, like the old Democrats, that these young kids ain't falling for it. And so, you know, they creating their own party now, just like the Republicans and MAGA did. They created their own party within the party.
Yeah, more power to them.
Yeah, but I think what's interesting is what they struggle with is when they have, right, say in honor of Selma. People say, yes, that's historic. Yes, that needs to be addressed. We need to commemorate and so forth. But it doesn't resonate with young folks. They just have a completely whole set of issues they're worried about. Housing, cost of living.
And they don't like to work. They don't like to work.
Yep. No, for sure.
Are you saying play video games? Is that... You say they rather play video games? Is that what you're saying, Jeff? Is that what I'm hearing?
You know what I'll tell you what, when I used to counsel kids and I'd have to talk to them about what they want to do in the future, I would say out of 10 kids, 9 of them wanted to be influencers. That's where it was at. Right. And that's high school. That's where it was at.
And Al Sharpton told me when he would meet these young influencers, like, how many you got? Oh, I've got, you know, I'm an influencer. I got 2 million. And he's like, try 7 million.
Come on now.
Whatever he has.
Come on now.
He still morphs them. And that's still the other thing I'm looking at. And this is interesting. Not only are they divided by politics, they also are divided about how they see the Democratic Socialists of America, DSA. And as you know, a lot of the older black generation, black voters, they grew up during the Cold War. So when they hear the word socialism, they may be less in tune for that label.
Right.
We did a story. We looked at the data. When some of the DSA candidates talk about affordability, when they talk about the issues, it resonates with black voters, but it doesn't. There's a ceiling with DSA with black voters, especially older black voters. If you look at Abdul Saeed in Michigan, he did very well among young black voters, but he did poorly among your traditional older black voters. He lost almost all the majority black ward in Detroit. So there's still division there. It's a mini civil war going on. There's other thing that's going on is that.
Yes, I said he's got to work on it.
There's still a largely white party. They're still looked as the college educated party. You don't see them strong in New Mexico, Virginia, West Virginia, or Mississippi. And you would think they would be in these working class areas. It's still a white working class. I mean, it's still a white middle class, white affluent party or group membership, whatever you want to call it. And older black voters are really suspicious of that because they've seen this game before. There's a division and it's only going to get stronger.
Wow, that's amazing. Demographics are going to change. And we do need to hand power. It's their lives. You know, we're all not going to be around.
Exactly.
And so more power to them.
And big announcement, Axios will be returning to Los Angeles. I said it last week. We'll be returning September 30th. And we got two confirmed speakers that Lalo will love. Someone named Edward James Olmos will be there. He'll be one of our guests.
Great.
And also comedian and actor Leo Gonzalez. He will be there. We're still working on a Politico. We're not going to give away too many names, but we're still working on that. I'll be there interviewing, and so will Telemundo, so will Astrid Galan, also of Axios, will be there having another night. We love coming to Los Angeles for Vision Audios. It's part of our Hispanic Heritage Month series. Everybody who's anybody in LA, I also know that it's also the same night as the Bruno Mars concert. You got to pull Jeff away, and no, Bruno Mars is the dude.
What?
But you know, yeah, come on down to Vision Audio. No, I know you like that repackaged full soul music. I know what's going on, man.
Hey, man.
I know.
But I'm going to pass on him to come see you. That's the
kind all of right. That's great.
What is that date again, Russell?
September 30th. There in Hollywood. Look, go to Axios Instagram page. Go to mine. Instagram page, Russ in Contreras. You will see announcement. Go click the link and send him your email, and we will give you a personalized invite. And remember, not only is it free, the drinks are free.
Oh. I have already RSVP'd because I knew that fun fact. So yeah,
exactly.
Actually, two of my family members are going to the Bruno Mars concert. So. I'm clear that night.
Oh, awesome. So we'll see you there. And lastly, before we go, Axios is looking in for next week, the rise of youth sports. As I take two young girls to go to their softball practice, the rise of travel ball, youth sports, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. But yeah, you know what it's affecting most?
High church schools.
Church attendance. So on weekend tournaments, you usually have a Friday, Saturday, you play full play, and Sunday is the final and the tournament time. Many people are forgoing church because they're no longer they used to go to church to look for heaven, but now they're going to the softball fields to get their daughters into UCLA. It's a phenomenon that's growing. You look into that. They're at Axios. Go to axios.com/newsletters to get the newsletter and get that story in your inbox every week.
Yeah, Russ. Another thing that you touched on is kids aren't even playing sports in high school anymore because they're getting scholarships from travel ball.
Exactly. Now, high school is still important, but if you do travel ball, if you're going around and the scouts are looking at you, and also the coaches, because remember, a lot of college coaches can't see high school games, but in the off season, they'll get some travel tournaments and they'll go there. And that happens a lot. So you want to make your name for yourself. They're going to look at your travel record when you're 16U and 18U. That's where they're going to make it. Yes, they'll look at high school, but it really matters much more in travel ball. And it's a multi-billion dollar industry. A lot of parents are putting there because they know that if they don't, they're going to miss out. And so they're spending tons of money to try to get their kids on the radar of a college coach.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to suggest travel preachers.
Travel preachers.
To all those games and set up in the parking lot. There you go.
I think you pitched out the last time we were at your mansion in Dana Point, and we just I didn't know what you're talking about, but now I get it. I get it, Lalo.
He means mobile. This is the mobile. That's a new moneymaker. The mobile preacher.
The mobile preacher, and if you want, you can have a chatbot Jesus, and he can come
chatbot
to you
Jesus
right there on your mobile preacher.
That's it. All right, Russell Contreras, you always keep us informed as to what's happening on the ground all over the U.S. Thank you, and good luck to the young athletes out there.
Oh, we'll see you next time. We'll see you next week. Ahoy.
All right. Ahoy.
I'm so glad.
We'll be right back with a little more music and Meredith Brown, immigration attorney of great renown, on the Pocho Hour of Power. KPFK.
Oh, yeah. little Diana Ross here, Zool. Come on now.
There you go. Someone has to play it.
Someone's got to play it. Yeah, I'm sure that's one of her top 25.
Yeah. I thought they were going to play
Upside Down. I mean, come on.
I'm coming out.
But, I'm coming out.
Mm-hmm. That's we already did all those jokes.
So. Yeah, we did that early. We couldn't.
And joining us here on the Pocho Hour of Power on that topic that really nobody's talking about, immigration, it's Meredith Brown. Welcome, Meredith, to the Pocho Hour of Power. Welcome back.
Thank you, Lalo. Yeah, there's always something to talk about. What are you talking about? No,
yeah, I was mixed up.
Crazy. So a couple things. If you look at the city hall tonight at night, you know, around 8 o'clock or whatever, they're going to light it up blue and white, which are the kind of like teal blue, really pretty blue, which are the colors of Guatemala. And I just wanted to congratulate the Guatemalan community because it's Guatemalan Heritage Week. And I was just downtown at City Hall and, you know, partaking in the festivities. It's really fun. So there's that, and there'll be a convention here in Los Angeles to talk about policy and different issues with the Guatemalan community. We have a victory. You know, there was a 75-country ban where people who were already kind of, they went through the whole process. They were ready to go pick up their permanent visa in the different consulates, the 75 countries that are allegedly, you know, impoverished countries. Well, that ban has been lifted. Thank you to Clinic versus Rubio, and that's a nationwide suit where basically the Trump administration has to follow the rules. They can't just blow through red lights, and if they don't like the red lights, then exploding all of the red lights so they don't have to deal with the rules. That's sort of what they're doing with this right now. They're putting a pause on all consular cases across the world, not just the 75 countries, because they don't like it. And basically the for folks that know people that are going through this or that are going through it themselves that listen to you, Lalo, it's just all about being a public charge. So people have to make sure that they're showing that they're educated, that they're working, that they're paying taxes, that they're not using public benefits, which they cannot do anyway because, you know, immigrants who don't have papers can't even use those papers. So, but on other fronts, everything is going really well. We're winning cases, marriage-based cases, visa overstays can still go forward. And even the threat of taking away asylum or doing something with people that came in on a visa, there are like 200,000 people that have a visa that came in and they were fleeing persecution. So they went ahead and applied for asylum, which they're entitled to do. But now the Trump administration is saying, oh, we're going to take away your visas. Well, yeah, their visas are obsolete because they switched over to an asylum route. So that's being monitored. There's going to be more and more litigation. What I'm sensing, I don't know what you guys think, but as we're getting closer and closer to the elections and accountability, hopefully, with the Democratic-run Congress starting in 2027, is that they're just desperate. They're like throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks, right?
Yeah.
They're just, instead of going small, like we won the 75-country ban. Okay, we got to go forward with those 75 countries. You know what? Sabes que? We're just going to shut down the whole world. You can't immigrate through a consulate right now. Seriously.
Yeah. Wow.
I have people that are trapped in Ciudad Juarez because they're not processing cases. Because they're like little children. You know, it's like, come on, guy. You got to follow the rules. You got to follow the rules and let people who are qualified immigrate, you know, through marriage, through kids, through employment. You know, we have rules for a reason.
It's
care.
Like them threatening to tear down the, you know, the Kennedy Center. It's like, well, we'll just tear down the whole place. And they said that about, you know, Trump, that he would rather have the whole place burn.
Yep.
If he has to lose, right?
Spoiled like, brat. So.
Right. Yeah. But we just have to keep on organizing people that can become citizens. I know, you know, if you're listening to Lalo, you speak English, right? And so you have to go and do your citizenship, especially if they're clean cases. But I've been downtown at the federal building a lot these, you know, past few days, and things are kind of humming along. You know, so they never give a decision right then and there, but they do get back to our clients, and we're winning cases. Just like normal. But it's kind of, you know, uphill. Oh, and then the members of Congress had a hearing recently to just denounce USCIS, which is the service branch of immigration. They're not doing their job. They're not processing DACA permits. They're dragging their feet, and they even have more money thanks to the beautiful, ugly bill that was just passed. So what's up? You got to do your job. You have to serve the community, even if you don't like immigration. So I'm looking forward to November/January when the new Congress gets sworn in, because people are tired. Even people, I talk to people that are against immigrants and immigration, but not, you know, Juan who helps me in my garden or whoever, right? You know, they always have the exception of the good people. Well, guess what? The vast majority of immigrants are here to work, pay taxes, help the economy, create business. They're professionals. They're from all kinds of walks of life. So why are you painting everyone with one brush? We know it's racism, but we have to keep on fighting, organizing, so that we can build a better America or a U.S.
Well,
it didn't change.
Well,
it's
here's,
not changing
here's
America,
a positive.
Right?
Here's a positive in L.A. That's Karen Bass told LAPD to stop ticketing the street vendors.
Good. Good. And I was just in her office right now, and I know that they're really trying hard to work right now on various issues. But yeah, I have hope. I do. I feel good. And I think that if people are curious about their rights, or they're afraid to apply for citizenship, I don't give him the victory or the administration the victory by not acting, right? By not taking advantage of your rights, by not progressing with your case. Of course, if you have major issues, don't do it. If you have a criminal record and you want to travel internationally or even domestically, be very careful, right? If you're a legal permanent resident, if you're completely undocumented, this is not the time to jump on a plane, right? Because you're using a passport, you don't have real ID, so that kind of flags you. And especially in other parts of the country, they're definitely just, they're racial profiling people. So be very careful and look for trusted nonprofits to help you out with your case. You know, there's so many good resources out there, all over the country. So there are no excuses.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, we need to all be informed, and we need to not be hopeless either, right? I mean, we have to, we can't let them defeat us, but yeah, be cautious and smart, right? Like, don't jump on a plane if you don't have to. I mean, I'm avoiding going to Mexico right now because, well, do I want these guys to go through my phone? Like, not really, you know.
Well, they're not really doing that unless they have good cause to, really. And then also the other thing is TPS for Salvadorans is coming to an end. So if you know somebody that has TPS, they need to start talking to a lawyer, if they haven't already, to see what alternatives there are, because we don't know what's going to happen there. We're talking about 150,000 Salvatruchas with TPS that are September, I think it's September 9th, it's over.
How long have those people been here generally?
Since 2001.
Wow. I mean, yeah. Lives have happened, families have happened.
They have a lot, kids with papers. Hopefully a lot of them took advantage of advanced parole, traveling with permission. You can't do that anymore. They just recently shot that down as well. So, you know, really they have to look for help now and not wait until after September or until they're in removal proceedings. They really need to look for help. There's Catholic Charities, Cares and Rescate. Catholic Charities is all over the country, and they're very good. But there's lots of wonderful nonprofits that can help people.
Well, that's great, and that's a lot of stuff to swallow right now.
We don't have a lot of time. But
I hope that in the future, I hope that U.S. citizen kids can sue the government for doing this to their parents. I think that would be my law and order solution, you know.
Right.
Down the road. But that's, you know, fantasy time. Hey, we got to get going because we got to hear a little more music. And Meredith Brown, thank you. How can people get a hold of you and look you up?
Because information is power. We're at infolegal.net.
Thank you so much, Meredith Brown. We'll see you next time on the Pocho Hour Power.
Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, and I'd like to thank you for being on the Pocho Hour Power, Meredith. I'd like to thank Patricia Guadalupe. I'd like to thank Russell Contreras, the Travel Ball girls, I'd like to thank Oz for running our sound, Gary Baca for popping in and doing the Diana Ross. I'd like to thank Esteban Zul and Jeffrey Keller.
I'd like to thank you, Lalo.
Yay, well, thank Lalo. You're my hero, Lalo.
Oh, thank you. Gary Bach is a producer, by the way. I'd like to thank Jaime Casillas for not playing the theme song today and bringing us that other song. And we, I think